Welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show. My brother Jesse's on the road again. It's Lent, man. Jess, you have to give up anything for Lent other than just offer your sacrifices on the road, bro. Wow.
Amen, Terry. Hey, yeah, no, you're right. It isn't, as you well know, it's not easy to travel, especially at our age. But you know what? hey, it's all for Jesus. Hey, offer it up, baby.
Well, Jesse, can I tell you, St. Charles Borromeo, one of the great saints who reformed the church right at the Council of Trent. He was part of the Council of Trent. He wrote the catechism. He started the seminary. He died at age 45 in his mid-40s. What did he die of? He died of burning himself out for Jesus Christ. He was preaching. He was doing so much. No, he didn't die of a heart attack. He died, his body just went out. He said this, that I give it all to Christ. And you're doing the same thing, but you're well over 45, so keep it up.
Yes, sir.
Brother, we got a great show. John Yep from Catholics for Catholics is going to be with us in the second, third, and fourth segment. We had the prayer for President Trump on the 19th. What a day on St. Joseph's feast day. Jesse, you were there. I'm going to sit back and hear you guys talk about that event. But before we do that, I just want to mention, some of you people just heard Dr. Sandoval speak. And some of you didn't. If you're not on the radio and you go on our app, you've heard Dr. Sandoval, who's a wonderful doctor, and he spoke at our spiritual warfare conference. Today's show, if you want to hear it later, just go to vmpr.org. Listen to what he said. Feeling down and dark? Feeling hopeless this Lenten season? Where do you find hope in the midst of darkness? Let's talk to God directly and find hope in Him, even when we feel all hope is lost. And he's going to give you some Bible verses and help you focus on hope. Does that sound promising? Yeah. Make sure you can listen to it 24/7. After you do that, you're going to want to listen to all of his other shows. But Jess, we finished.
Here, let me tell you something about Dr. Sandoval.
Please do, because you know him personally. Yeah.
He's a medical doctor. He's a psychiatrist. He was going to be a Catholic priest. He discerned out. He left the seminary, and God called him to the married life.
Yeah.
But he's a holy Catholic psychiatrist. See, the problem with many of our psychiatrists, their church fathers are Charles Darwin, Kinsey, William Colson, Nietzsche.
Yeah.
That's where they draw their pool of understanding of the human person. But Louis Sandoval, he's taken, again, the best of psychology, what it has to teach. But he's purified it and interfaced it with St. Thomas Aquinas, St. Augustine, exactly. The church fathers, the doctors of the church. So you're going to get an authentic analysis from Dr. Sandoval when he speaks.
Yep.
Because he purifies psychiatry with the Catholic faith. And that's the only way you can approach the human person. And he knows that and understands that, like very few psychiatrists do.
Yep. Well said, Jesse. And I just want to mention, folks, you're still getting copies of the Spiritual Warfare Conference talks. I'm told by Monday all the editing will be done, and then you'll get the link. If you registered or you bought it online, you'll get the edited version. You probably watched it live, but we cleaned it up for you. And then this is the time for you to share it with your friends and family. If you want to register for that and get that, go to vmpr.org, and you can get all the talks from the Spiritual Warfare Conference with Bishop Strickland and others. Also, Jesse, I want to remind people, we have a lot of videos on YouTube. They take them from our shows. Some of them have gotten over 500,000 views.
Okay? Wow.
Yeah. And things like Father Chad Ripperger, we did that show a couple weeks ago with him. I think it's about 120,000 views from just segments. So I want everybody to just go to Full Sheen Ahead. That's our YouTube channel. And click, you like it, and ring the bell, because that's going to help us reach more people. Because what happens is our shows will pop up when people are searching for spiritual warfare or for whatever topic we're talking about. And that really helps us here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Jesse.
Let me mention three things real quick before we get into today's gospel.
Yeah.
Number one, I'm looking at LifeSite News. It says Pope Francis denounces anti-vaxxers.
Right.
And calls the COVID jab refusal an almost suicidal act of denial.
Well, it's his opinion.
Okay. Yes, his opinion, but he's not a medical expert. Well, he's not a medical doctor. So as Cardinal Pell said, rest in peace, he says that, we listen to the Pope when it comes to faith and morals, when he teaches the deposit of faith, but when it comes to medicine or science, it's just his opinion. Second point, the good news, Supreme Court unanimously rules that public officials can be sued for blocking critics on social media.
Yep.
Supreme Court Justice Amy Coney Barrett noted that the personal social media accounts of public officials often present an ambiguous status because they mix official announcements with personal content. So that's a good decision on our side, Terry.
Yeah, we
Here's something else interesting.
Tell me.
Senator Marco Rubio in serious contention for Trump's VP.
Wow.
Donald Trump is seriously considering Florida Senator Marco Rubio as his running mate. According to a new report, NBC revealed on Thursday that it had spoken with six people familiar with the presumptive Republican nominee search for a 2024 running mate, and that Rubio is now a serious contender. I can tell you this, Marco Rubio, yeah. I've been told, goes to daily mass.
Yes,
I've also been told, Terry, that after mass, he tweets out something from the gospel, the first reading, or the responsorial
awesome.
Psalm.
My kind of guy. Hey, Jess, one last one. I've got 63% of all U.S. abortions are now done with pills. This is the Guttmacher Report. And it's a 20% increase. Let me just say this. The whole idea of people abusing the sexual gift that God has given for a man and a woman to have to be with fecundity, meaning bringing forth new life. What's happened is we've become a culture where sex is recreational, and I take a pill and I can get rid of the baby. If we have to realize that conception takes place, so that is a baby. So millions of babies are being killed, and many people don't even realize it. And that's why we have to continue to preach the gospel of life in season and out. Jess Romero, let's get some soul food in our brother, talking about the gospel of life.
Speak, Lord, your servants are listening. Today's Holy Gospel, John chapter 8, 51 and following.
Oh, yeah.
Jesus said to the Jews, amen, amen, I say to you. Remember, whenever he says
amen. Pay attention.
Yeah, that means pay attention. that's in Hebrew, that's a solemn oath. Okay. Whoever keeps my word will never see death. So the Jews said to him, now we are sure that you are possessed. Abraham died, as did the prophets, yet you say, whoever keeps my word shall never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died, or the prophets who died? Who do you make yourself out to be? Jesus answered, if I glorify myself, my glory is worth nothing, but it is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say he is our God. Then our Lord tells him, you do not know him, but I know him.
Yep.
And if I should say that I do not know him, I would be like you, a liar. Mm-hmm. But I do know him and keep his word. Abraham, your father, rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad. Notice, Abraham lived 2,000 years before our Lord Jesus Christ. So the Jews are saying, what? They said, so the Jews said to him, you are not yet 50 years old, and you have seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, amen, amen, I say to you, before Abraham came to be, or before Abraham was,
yeah,
I am. Jesus Christ just used the divine title of God in the Old Testament.
Exactly.
YHWH. In other words, Jesus just said, he just told them, guess what? Before Abraham was even born, before Abraham even existed in his mother's womb, guess what? I am God. I am the eternal God. I was, I am, and I will be.
Yep.
And it says, so they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid and went out of the temple area, the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Most commentators say that it says when Jesus hid, it means that Jesus Christ veiled himself.
Yeah.
He turned invisible.
Yeah.
He covered their eyes. They were not able to see him. He veiled their understanding and their eyesight from seeing him, and he walked right through them. It doesn't mean like he went to go hide under a rock or under a tree because he was scared. That's not what it meant. He veiled himself. And he turned invisible, or he veiled their eyes so that they could not see him, and he walked right through.
Wow. Fantastic. All right, let's bring the smartest guy into the room, Archbishop Fulton Sheen. Full Sheen ahead. And remember, this is coming up with a week that changed the world. Holy Week begins, folks. And I remember Bishop Sheen saying, without Good Friday, there's no Easter Sunday. So penance is really important. And this is something that Bishop Sheen points out, but here's his comment about loving and liking. Good distinction. You may not like somebody, I've had that experience, but you can still love them because loving is a duty. It is good for your soul, and it also glorifies God. If you do an injury to someone you do not like, you will dislike him still more. If you do a favor to someone you do not like, you will love him more. Jess, this is powerful stuff for us to live the gospel. I cannot tell you how many times I've had people who can't handle my love when they hate me, and I come back and I say, what's troubling you? You know, I didn't attack them. Wow. They expect you to attack them, but because you can love them, they don't know what to do with that, brother. They said, aren't you going to hate me? I want to rattle your cage. No, you're made in the image and likeness of God, brother. No matter what you say to me, God made you. That is not going to take it away. Anyhow, Jess, this is something that we all have to face with, whether they're relatives or people we meet, politics. Hey, do I like President Biden? No, I really don't. You know why? Because he kills babies and his politics are horrible. But I love him with my prayers, and I would love him if I had a chance to meet him with the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
That's right. Amen.
When we come back, John Yett from Catholics for Catholics, you guys are going to talk about what happened on the Feast of St. Joseph, praying for President Trump in Florida. We want to hear more about that. Stay with us, family. We'll be back after a quick break. Welcome back. We've got our good friend John Yep from Catholics for Catholics with us, joining us with Jesse Romero. Both of those guys were in Florida on the Feast of St. Joseph. I envy you guys. I stayed home and covered the fort here. But John, welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show.
Oh, it's good to be here. Jesse, are you in a hotel room? Did you stay back behind on the beach in Florida?
I'm here in George Floyd. I'm here in George Floyd City preaching the gospel in Minnesota. Trust me, it's no Florida over here.
Okay, all right. Fair enough. You're excused.
Jesse, take this because you both were at this event. Tell us about, set the stage here.
Okay, let me set the stage. First of all, I've been speaking around the Catholic Church for about 25 years. Mm-hmm. I have to say, this was the most powerful event, Catholic event, I've ever participated in 25 years. And that says a lot.
That is.
Because if there's somebody that's been around the block in the Catholic Church in the speaking circuit, it's me.
That's right.
And I'm going to tell you, I'll tell you why this was so powerful. The room was filled with serious Catholics. You could feel the zeal just dripping. And John, you and the team did a phenomenal job. I'm going to give props to all those young adults that work for you, especially Veronica. I know Veronica, she was working her behind off for this, but the night went off without a hitch. I mean, what a lineup you brought, you know, Jack Posobiec, you know, Michael Knowles, Tim Ballard, who will, you know, talk about, he's looking into the Catholic faith, Jim Caviezel, Father Pavone, Roger Stone, I'm telling you, John, you have inspired the people are talking about this all over the country. Who put this in your mind to do this event? And tell us what your goal was. What's the goal of this?
It sounds like a typical thing Catherine might say when they say God inspired me. But I'm going to say that really, really, I believe this with all my heart. It was St. Joseph who clearly told a few of us, we just felt, you know, the way God speaks in your heart, you could talk to your spiritual director, confirm it that way. Mm-hmm. But it was St. Joseph who said, it's time. Okay. It's time for me to take the bull by the horns. Will you help me? And we said, yes. And that's why we did. We broke gala protocol by putting it, you know, with only 3 weeks of warning, and then also on a weekday night. Okay. And we did that specifically because it was St. Joseph's feast day, March 19th, the 87th anniversary of the publishing of the encyclical Divini Redemptoris, Pius XI's encyclical, which placed the vast campaign of the world against communism under the standard of St. Joseph. It started from there and it ended there. And from there we went to work. Like you said, we had a great team and Veronica was phenomenal. Jesse, you know, if you ever run out of a job with speaking tours, which you won't, you should be a job recruiter, bro. You find, You find some good people, buddy. And, you know, Veronica and team and James and Charles, they were studs. And, you know, a small team that works professionally. And we put on that event in 3 weeks.
Wow.
You know, it's filled the entire house, packed it. I mean, down to the wire, we were getting bombarded with more people begging to get inside. It's almost like, you know, the gates of heaven. I can imagine what Peter must feel. We probably felt, you know, we felt the same way, man, trying to get into heaven. But it's that we did have a big, you know, slot of speakers. People asked, okay, so did you pay for all this? How, this must have been really expensive. I mean, and down to a T, most, they weren't asking for large sums of money. It wasn't about that for them. They understood the importance of the moment. This, the Catholic vote, as everyone's coming to understand more and more, will decide the 2024 elections, okay? And the severity of difference on the both sides right now has given this opportunity for Catholics to exploit politics, really. Exploiting politics to evangelize, okay? And that sets the stage for us to really clearly say you have a choice between two systems. One is atheistic communism, condemned since 1846, by so many holy fathers, except for the present one, right? And then you have the other side, which is represented by Donald Trump and Democratic Republic, which only works when it's buttressed up by faith and morals. That's our role. We are there. We were there to show our moral support and remind it we're the bride of Christ in the world, or the voice of Christ in the world, to remind the secular what is truth, what is natural law, and what is our faith, right? And that will do is that will help in reaffirm, like President Trump, we know it's not completely perfect on all Catholic issues, we know, but number one, he's the clear choice. He's the 100%, without a doubt, he is who every Catholic should be voting for in this election. And then number two, it's to reaffirm what we believe and why we believe it, right? We were there to give reasons for what we believe, as St. Peter says in the New Testament. So we did that. The huge row of speakers, huge lineup, and the culminating point, this was historic. The Holy Rosary was prayed in Mar-a-Lago.
Wow.
With every speaker on stage, we're going to have the full thing up for you to see. I encourage everyone to watch it. The full link was, the full rosary was prayed, and then it culminated in a consecration in the sacred language of Mother Church, Latin, to St. Joseph. Powerful, powerful evening.
Wow. My mouth is dropping.
Yeah, and I noticed, yeah, we consecrated, a priest consecrated the whole place of St. Joseph in Latin.
Wow.
After we prayed the rosary, and it sounded just like an orchestra of people just praying, just the faith. I could just see the prayers rise to heaven from Mar-a-Lago, and God and Our Lady looking down upon that place and saying, you know what? I need to protect this man, because this guy protects Catholics. Donald Trump protects Catholics. And I noticed the speakers that you chose. By the way, I'm blown away. Patricia Sandoval was probably one of the best speakers. And at first I had like a little hiccup, but you know what? I'm like, wow. I knew she was good, but she outdid herself. She called all of us men out. She says, I want all you men to be Saint Josephs.
There you go.
She goes, yeah. I married a Saint Joseph, and I want all you men to be Saint Josephs. I can tell you, they knocked it out of the park. But the four themes that I noticed that all the speakers keyed in on, and this probably came from you, John. You probably told them this is the one they keyed on: the fact that communism is encroaching America. Mm-hmm. They were speaking out thunderously against communism. That was awesome. They also spoke about the right to worship. That was another theme that was very clear with all the speakers. The right to worship as Catholics. The right to life was a very powerful theme with all the speakers. The right of innocent life. Another powerful theme was the right of parents. You know, principles of subsidiarity. Government, leave us alone. Let parents raise their kids. And the fifth thing, that my fifth takeaway in this conference, was the right to protect our borders. All of the speakers spoke about one of these issues, or all five of them. And these were basically the highlights that I took out. Very inspired. And I can just say that people walked out of there inspired, because you know why? On the opposite end of the country, Biden was meeting with some of our bishops. Okay, that's not inspirational, John. Lay Catholics aren't inspired by modernist bishops meeting with the worst president of the country. Catholics are inspired by seeing, as Fulton Sheen said, who's going to save the church? Lay people. That's what we saw at Mar-a-Lago.
It is. When Jesse, that's a great point about the whole meeting with President Biden. Some of our Catholic leaders were there, right? Because what that was, St. Patrick's Day at the White House. While they do have every year a gathering of on St. Patrick's Day, so that's normal. But the way it was phrased in White House communiques, they called it, interestingly enough, Catholic leaders meet with President Biden. Okay. I'm going to bet my bottom dollar that it was a response to us. So we were literally triggering the White House to make a move, which is a good thing that, you know, which is good because they, you know, so they knew we were over the target. Now, going deeper into that, what's interesting is that all they could say for those Catholic leaders, Father James Martin was there. Yep. Another, you know, Thomas Rees, the whatever, the liberal nun, we all know her. Yes. Was, you know, and then the Apostolic Nuncio, Christoph Pierre, was also there as
That's
well.
Correct.
And he gave his blessing, by the way. But what was key, what they couldn't do, those Catholic leaders, was come out and say, they were trying to say indirectly, but they couldn't say, we endorse President Biden. Okay. Why couldn't they really come out and say we endorse President Biden, or have a lay leader, Catholic leader, say that when stare himself in the mirror and really mean it? Because the fact they know they don't stand on truth. That's it. It's a clear cut case. You know, we are condemning atheists and communism. That's what we're doing, right? And Donald Trump is the one behind it. And those four issues that we brought up, you know, weaponization of DOJ against faith-based groups and political opponents, right? That was the first issue. Second issue was the right to life. So the right to worship. Right to life. Third one, parents' rights, the way we see the, you know, the transgender movement. And then fourth was the rights of children, as played out with human trafficking at the southern border. Those four issues are human rights issues, okay? And if you don't hear your bishop talking up strongly about each of those four human rights, then I'm going to tell each of those bishops and clerics that they need to read Deus Caritas Est, number 28, where Pope Benedict clearly says the church cannot remain on the sidelines, especially when human rights issues are at stake. And those are at stake. So get up there, get to the pulpit, get on your Twitter feeds, your excellencies. We need your voice now. And if you're not going to do it for whatever reason, we don't judge you. But let me tell you something. We're going to freaking Mar-a-Lago, and we're gonna claim it from the rooftops, yeah, as the scripture impels us to do. Okay. That's what we did. And it was a home run with God's help.
John, if you know, I might jump in, Jesse, let me jump in and say the contrast from the 17th, St. Patrick's Day, and the 19th, there's one thing that you both, I didn't bring up, and I'll bring it up right now. The nuncio, when he led the prayer for the 17th, the feast of St. Patrick, when it came to the prayer, we couldn't get the cardinal to bless himself to start the prayer. In other words, identifying the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Here's my contrast. One, you got lay people over in Florida showing their Catholicism, Christ the King, Sacred Heart, consecration. And then you got the Cardinal Nuncio, who represents the Holy See, and the doggone guy can't even bless himself to lead a prayer and identify himself as a Catholic. Do I need to say more?
That's so interesting. I didn't really.
I saw it, John. It ticked me off. And I thought about what you guys were there. I said, look at you guys are showing your Catholicism. You're praying the rosary. You're talking about Christ, and you're praying for our leaders. And what do we have on the other side? We have baptized Catholics who are leaders in our church, cardinals, and they can't bless themselves in public? Give me a break.
Absolutely. That's a great little note, piece of anecdote there, Terry. When you don't stand on truth, you can't be clear.
Amen.
And it's hard. You're foggy, you know. But when it's on your side, the clarity of it speaks for itself. You know, I hope St. Patrick's famous miracle is casting out the snakes in Ireland. I hope he casts the snakes out of the White House.
Amen.
Because there are a lot of snakes. You know, there really are.
I agree.
Another anecdote is President Trump really wanted to be there. I have at least two friends who were texting directly with President Trump there on that night.
Wow.
He really wanted to be there. In fact, he called one of my friends this morning and apologized. I couldn't make it. I really wanted to be. So he knows Catholics for Catholics is doing and trying. We're trying to carry our weight for the country.
Amen. Stay with us. You're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show. John Yep with Catholics for Catholics joining us about what took place on the Feast of St. Joseph in Florida. mind-boggling. Stay with us. We'll be back with more. Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. We've got Jesse. Jesse, where are you and what parish are you power preaching? So if we have some of our listeners can join you. Do you have that in your head? Where are you at in Minnesota? I can't hear Jesse.
Hey, Anita, what parish am I at? Epiphany. I'm in Epiphany Catholic Church.
In what city?
In Coons Rapids, Minnesota.
Minnesota. So I just want to encourage people to go there tonight and listen.
Yeah, the church was packed last night. I spoke on spiritual warfare. It was a packed church. I'll be there the next two nights.
Awesome.
Catholics are hungry. Catholics want the raw truth. They want it raw and real.
Amen.
And so, John, let me ask you a question. Let's go through some of the speakers. Jack Posobiec talked a lot about communism. Yeah. He also said, I love it. He goes, this country needs an exorcism. And I'll tell you, Terry, the most beautiful thing that John did and Veronica and the team. Terry.
Yeah.
Okay. We started off with an opening prayer. There was a Catholic priest that started off with an opening prayer.
Sure.
Then we did the Pledge of Allegiance.
Yeah.
On two big, large, massive screens, C for C, they played the January 6th political prisoners doing the Pledge of Allegiance from their jail cells.
Wow.
Terry, it was powerful, that moment. It just the way the lead into the whole thing. And then he puts on Jack Posobiec, very well-known former Navy intelligence officer. He talked about cultural Marxism, communism.
Yeah.
And I like the way he also ended it. He took us through he said, do you reject Satan? Everybody knows that happens once a year in the Novus Ordo Mass. He said, I do. And then he goes, do you reject communism?
Yeah, I do.
He said, I do. He goes, do you reject all of Satan's works? In other words, Jack Posobiec was saying, we got to fight for our nation because that's where we're at right now.
Wow.
Comments on Jack's talk, John?
God bless him.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that was spot on. And we wanted to start with the J6 thing because just paints the whole picture, the weaponization of the DOJ against political opponents and faith-based groups.
Right.
That's why we had Steve Friend from the FBI talking about they've gone after Catholics, okay? And Jack's whole, that was awesome, do you reject Satan? Because what we wanted to do that night, speaking of spiritual warfare, and you would know this, Bert and I, Jesse, with we remind the audience that in the rite of exorcism, it's the moment that the priest says, well, who are you? Name yourself, demon. And the demon's got to cough up his name. He doesn't want it. Once he does that, he's got the control, right? So Christ said in the gospel, what's your name? My name is Legion. Great. I own you now, right? I can control you and kick you out. So we were naming that foe. We were naming it what it was. It's cultural, atheistic communism. We, more than anyone in society, that is the Catholic Church, know this, what communism is and what it's done. We condemned it 2 years before the Communist Manifesto was even published in 1848 with Pius IX's encyclical 1846. We smelled the rat in the room. We knew this, and our Blessed Mother came hard and strong in 1917 and also reminded the world about communism. So we were there, and it was, people ask, we've talked about this before in the previous show, like, okay, why do you have non-Catholics up there? Because number one, they have virtues. And Christ himself said, like, I'm talking about Tim Ballard and even Roger Stone, they have virtues. The centurion of the gospel had more faith than all the Israelites, okay? We have to be like Jesus and recognize the virtues of the pagan and then invite him back to the faith, which we did, by the way, which we did. It wasn't all religions are equal. No. We're the ones true faith. We got to hold true, invite them. And then did you see the part of Roger Stone, Jesse? That was, for me, that was one of the highlights personally for me was, this is a man who he's baptized Catholic. He goes, mass, Christmas and Easter to church. And then he goes to his Protestant church during the week. Why, by the way? Because he can't stand his communist pastor. But nevertheless, it's funny. But, he did say he prays the rosary every day.
Wow.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
But
yeah,
when he came up on stage, and even Steve Friend, who also is a baptized Catholic, but doesn't practice his faith anymore. But Steve was willing to join us on stage, hold that rosary, and pray with us. This is what we're talking about when we say we are not in the politics business and just we're using our faith for politics. We are exploiting politics, people. We're exploiting it so that we can evangelize, okay? And watching Roger Stone, I thought he was tearing up a little bit when we saw
He was moved. He was very moved. Yeah. He was very moved.
It was the Sovereign Redeemer. I heard that hymn echoed in the halls of the House of Mar-a-Lago, which that same house, which about a year ago was raided by the FBI, and it
Yes.
was a total hit piece. You know, it was sacred, and even some of the other events there that we wouldn't approve of, some of these homosexual events, right? Just to go there, bring the grace of God and reconsecrate this, set it apart for what it is. This man, Trump, represents our best chance to defeat the evil of communism.
Yeah, you know something also it was powerful when you could see Roger Stone was tearing up, and also Tim Ballard, who's a Mormon, gave a great speech on child trafficking. He also said, "Oh, by the way, I'm wearing a miraculous medal around my neck."
My gosh.
Can you believe that?
That's unbelievable.
Tim Ballard, a Mormon, said on stage to 1,000 Catholics, he
That's
said,
incredible.
I'm wearing a miraculous medal around my
Is this
neck.
microphone on, Jesse? I
He
thought I heard you say that. He's wearing a miraculous medal of the medal from Our Lady for conversion. He's wearing that today? Wow.
is wearing that today. I saw it myself right before we went on stage, and he said, I'm seriously considering about coming back to the Catholic faith. And then he told me afterwards when he left the stage, he had like 10 people come up and say, "I'll be your confirmation sponsor."
I
And he
bet.
told me back at the hotel, he's like, "I
Wow.
told them all yes, but I don't even know what that means. I guess I have like 10 confirmation sponsors now." I'm
Ah,
like, "Yeah, I
that's
guess
so
this is
funny.
what it
That's
means." So
exciting. That's exciting.
that's what it's about,
Yeah,
right?
it is. You nailed it, John. Wow.
Hey, John, tell us about Michael Knowles, this a young millennial Catholic. He's on Daily Wire. He was there. He talked about families and parents' rights are under attack today. He says that liberals are outright Marxist. He talked about the importance of education, that families are the primary educators. He also was a hit with the audience. Tell us about him.
Michael Knowles brought a lot of brain to it, and that's important because we're not we have the passion, but we also have the intellect as well. Standing on the year 2000 years of Catholic tradition, and he nailed it. And you can see, by the way, you can see Michael's speech, which we'll release later, but also he did a whole show today on the Michael Knowles show, which reached millions of people, and then we were able to also personally interview him prior to the event, and all three of those speeches came out this principle, which Michael did explain so well, based off Tim Gordon's book. We are wired Catholic, okay? The founding documents of this country could only have been breathed into existence, having utilized and have the resources of three Catholic priests, ultimately, Father Thomas Aquinas, Father Robert Bellarmine, and Father Francisco Suarez, okay? This is not just John Locke, David Hume. Production that Protestant philosophy in many ways is a misnomer, right? So they use that where the natural rights theory, rights of life, liberty, and property came from Suarez, a Catholic priest. Okay, so when you go and you look at the situation of the country today as it's falling apart, we Catholics cannot look at it with the same responsibility that the average Joe can, because it's our faith which has allowed for this great American experiment to take place. And aided by the sacraments, we have a duty before God to get into the cultural fight and not sit back. And our silence is complicit, as being complicit. So Michael Knowles really hit those points, and I encourage you all to listen to some of those three speeches where he explains it deeper.
Wow,
Yeah,
God
yeah.
bless him.
You also had Jim Caviezel. Wow, I mean, what an inspirational talk he gave. He said, "Where are our church leaders now? They're laicized, they're canceled, they're silenced." And in other words, he was saying this is basically the moment of the laity, because good be. And then people started looking at Father Altman, who was there. Yeah, I like Father Altman and Father Pavone, who was there. Father Pavone, this priest has the greatest grasp on politics
That's
that I've ever
oh, no
seen.
question about it.
His talk was off the charts. I mean, just enlightening. And also you had Roger Stone, and then you had at the end, wow, General Flynn, where it sounded like, we have to be fearless. He quoted Psalm 23, we're in the valley of the shadow of death. John, I'm telling you, you could not have put a better lineup that night. I'm telling you, it was comments on any of those four that I mentioned: General Flynn, Roger Stone, Jim Caviezel, Father Pavone.
It was a great lineup, and the people that were supposed to be were there. And one thing I did tell the audience too, we had more speakers that were going to be there, right? But, and I told everyone this, I use this as an example. I said, we got the negative press from the liberal media. We expected that. Liberal Catholic media. Okay. They hit us, and some of it was actually really helpful, you know, so helpful that we sent it to our friends because they actually gave us a lot of compliments, right? What we didn't expect as much was the persecution from quote unquote good bishops. Yeah. Okay. And how did this play out? Well, it typically does behind the scenes. Okay. We had speakers who were going to come. They were ready to go. They wanted to go. The bishops called them up. Bishops who, and I'm not going to name them here. No need to do that here. But they are seen as good, and they do some great work. Okay. The problem is they're just good. You have to be holy, and you got to be heroic. They pressured our speakers to step down and said, if you don't step down from this event, we are going to cancel your contracts. Okay. They said that. They alluded to that's, and I said, you know, I pushed back, you know. And I find that so. I understand some of those speakers who may have backed down because they got to support their families or whatever reason. At the same time, as I asked Michael Knowles this, I said, guys, you don't have to. It's called social media. You don't have to have the informal imprimatur of every single bishop to go in different schools and parishes and whatever to speak. Okay, because your message. I said Michael Knowles works for a Jew. Okay, he works for a Jew, and he reaches millions more than you guys who work for good bishops. Right. Stand on the truth. Technologies that allowed us to get the message out. Yes, we're faithful to the church. We respect the spiritual authority. C for C, send a note acknowledging the authority of the local ordinary. We respect the bishop. We pray for Pope Francis. Okay, but at the same time, you can't be harnessed. The truth cannot be harnessed. Okay, that was significant. But in the end, the speakers that were supposed to be there were there.
Well, John, when we come back, we want to have a final segment with you to encourage our listeners to be inspired and how they can listen to these talks as soon as possible through Catholics for Catholics and much, much more when we come back on the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. I can say it now. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. And if hope was money, Jesse and I would be billionaires. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. Stay with us.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back. Indeed, John Yep from Catholics for Catholics. They're talking about a monumental event that took place on the 19th of March, the Feast of St. Joseph. And I just, you know, I'm stunned because I wasn't there, but you guys are giving a great description of what went on. So in this last segment, General Flynn, I got to hear what he had to say. I know you said he quoted the Psalms, but it seemed like, did you feel, Jesse, at the end of this event that you needed, had you had marching orders to go out and proclaim Jesus?
Clear direction, clear. There was moral clarity from that stage.
Yeah.
There was passion, orthodoxy, obedience to God, obedience to Holy Mother Church.
Amen.
Very Marian, very Marian. There was a picture of Our Lady on the stage. John kept invoking Our Lady over and over. I'm telling you, so much actual grace because of so many people and the priests, so much actual grace through our prayers was dumped into that property, which is important because, again, you have people that are trying to curse this president. You go on the internet, you got witches and Satanists that are doing ritual cursing against him. And so it was so important. St. Louis de Montfort says, whatever you give to Our Lady, the devil has no access to. I believe by 1,000 people praying the rosary there with faith, hope, and love, we brought in Our Lady's presence in a very special way because Melania is already Catholic. So there's already a connection there. And so I think that nothing but good can come out of this event. Nothing but good fruit's going to come out of this event. And the highlight of this and some of the other takeaways were, again, the way we started, opening prayer with a Catholic priest, the Pledge of Allegiance with the prisoners, the J6 prisoners on video. When Tim Ballard announced to us, you know, everybody knows he's a Mormon.
Yeah.
I'm wearing a miraculous medal. He goes, and you know, right. he says, I'm thinking about becoming Catholic. I'm telling you, that brought the house down. And also another iconic moment was when John Yep, after the Salve Regina, he gave Roger Stone, I think you gave him a rosary, John, on stage. And Roger Stone said that he prays it every day. And we were praying the Salve Regina. I'm looking at Roger Stone. He was tearing up because we were tapping into his Catholic sensibilities.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, for the non-Catholics that were up on the stage, that were very few, I think three, they saw masculine Catholicism, true masculine Catholicism. And even with Patricia, who says, you all need to be St. Joseph's. I married a St. Joseph, and all you men need to be St. Joseph's. I'm telling you, people walked out of there inspired, but also knowing, boy, we've got to roll up our sleeves and we've got to get busy because November's right around the corner.
Jesse, you hit on a really good point. One of our biggest friends or followers sent us a message this morning. I think you read it too, about just the, you know, we're reflecting a masculine Catholicism. And just, you know, kudos to you, Jesse. I mean, C4C is really blessed to have Jesse's name, you know, with C4C, all the work that you do for us on the show and just in general. You know, you show that they're, you know, I mean, leaving this masculinity, and it's again men back in and in the fight. And you're not afraid. You don't wait for the bishops to bless you or whatever. I mean, you just gotta keep checking the truth, right? You're not welcome in every single diocese, but that's the way, you know, that's that'll help you at the gates of heaven, right? So it's we have to do that. And I think we do that, and it's going to flip the side. We're going to have, you know, like Roger Stone, you nailed it, right? The guy was like, I could almost look at him and say, as you heard the Latin words, like the little boy, he's been around for a while, probably before the Vatican Council, right? We used to hear that same hymn in the church. He's brought it broad back to the days of the church when the church was much more vibrant and robust. So this is what we got to do, and God's opening so many doors. We're blessed, and that, like the room inspired me from stage. We knew who we were talking to. These are not like just walkers and talkers. These are people who've also lived in the fight themselves. So you had Mercedes Match Slap there, you know, down from CPAC. They were sitting front and center, right? That was a big deal. You guys were at their table, right?
On my table.
I know. Yeah, I needed someone.
John, it's funny. My wife was starstruck. She goes, oh, Matt and Mercedes Schlepp. And my wife never starstruck because we've been around a lot of actors. And my wife's jaw just dropped. It's funny. And I went to the bathroom. Mercedes came over to my wife and says, hi, what's your name? Oh, Anita Romero. And my wife, I watch you all the time on Newsmax. I used to watch you on Fox. And so they're just talking back and forth. And then Mercedes says, is that your husband, Jesse? She goes, yeah, he just went to the bathroom. And she goes, oh, we do a lot of stuff in Arizona. I want to get in contact with you. She gave my wife her cell phone. And so my wife, she told me, my wife was so starstruck, she put her name on Mercedes' cell phone. And she forgot to put her phone number and gave it back to her. And Mercedes put it in her pocket. And then when she left, she told me, I came back. She goes, Mercedes, when she wanted our number. She wants to invite you to stuff in Arizona when CPAC does stuff in Arizona. And my wife says, I forgot to put my phone number. So, John, whenever you have a chance, if you can email the Schlaps and say, this is Jess and Anita's phone number, we'd love to collaborate.
Funny, Anita was starstruck. We got Mercedes sent me the same message that night. I was starstruck when I met Anita Romero.
That's funny.
It's good. That's what it's about. We're connecting these people together. Yep.
So, John, let me ask you this. Our listeners are
saying, hey, John, tell me a little bit about.
That's go ahead, Jess.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Go, Terry.
I just want to know.
No, Terry.
I think our listeners are asking right now. How can we actually?
What's next?
Yeah, and also, next, yeah. How can we witness that those talks? You said you're going to put them up on the internet on your website. Tell us when that will happen and how people can support you.
So that should be up on our website hopefully by end of day tomorrow. We're just getting it back from Mar-a-Lago and different protocols in place so that they can approve it. Some of it was live streamed though. So you already watched clips of it, but the entire thing will be released. If you want to watch it, you can, you know, get notified on our YouTube channel or on our Rumble, or just go to c4c.com, and we will send you a notification. You can sign up right there. Say, I want the video. We have it very clear on the website. Say, I want to watch this video. Put your email and we'll send it directly to you.
Awesome.
And you can get the first to watch it. So it's super, super important. Right. And you know, so, yeah, it's good. And honestly, we're okay. If you download it and post it on your own YouTube channel, I don't really care. Let's just get the message out. That's what matters. That's what matters.
Amen, brother. Jesse.
John, what's next? What's next, brother? Yeah. What's next on your plate?
I better ask my team, because if I say the next event's 2 weeks away, I'm going to have mutiny because they worked out.
You're pushing them pretty hard, John.
I got an idea, but I'm going to just we'll announce very soon.
Good.
It's coming up. But we will be doing rosary rallies all across the country.
And John, you're always welcomed on Virgin Most Powerful Radio to tell us what you're doing, because we do want to support the work you're doing, obviously, whether it was at Dodger Stadium or any other event, because we're two birds flocking together. And I thank you for taking the time to be with us. And Jesse, wrap it up for John. I think that this is a monumental event that took place.
Yeah. Terry, something else that also inspired me is that Jack Posobiec talked about Peter Navarro just got thrown in jail.
Okay.
Navarro, that sounds to me like he's probably a Catholic.
Sounds Catholic, yes.
And why? Because he had the courage just to not go along with all the demonic works that are at play in our nation.
Yeah.
John, can you tell us a little bit about Peter Navarro, who he is for the audience and what
Absolutely. He does? In fact, Peter Navarro was basically unjustly, I mean, many would say most, he technically defied a subpoena from Congress to testify against the president. And his reason, rationale, legal reason was, I'm just protecting the presidential immunity. And so there's, most of us would say, yeah, that's totally fine and normal, right? But they have gone after him, and he literally went to jail the same day we had the event, March 19, just like an hour away in Miami, Florida. And I was actually, I got to know very closely the secretary, Peter Navarro, in the days leading up to it, and was able to tell this person, the secretary, Peter, that, look, you tell Peter that we're going to be praying for him on that night.
Right.
And if so, it was, he was just a concrete manifestation of someone who's a victim of this whole weaponization of DOJ, which again is a very characteristic trait of communism. They turn the government on the people instead of serving the people. They think that they're a God, but they are not God. Okay. So it was just it was a concrete example of how we see this played out in today's society.
Wow.
Well, that's a wrap.
Yeah.
And thanks a lot, John. Thanks a lot for coming on, brother.
And again, John, I want to thank you for the work you guys are doing. It's important work. And let's be honest right now, we have a huge election coming up November 5th. I believe that's the 5th. And we need to be informed on how to vote with a Catholic moral conscience. And I want to just ask everyone, it's simple as this. If you don't believe me, go to the profiles, go to the Democratic Party and the Republican Party, and look at their statements of beliefs. In other words, it's all there on, I think Father Frank Pavone does it, makes it easy, Priest for Life have it right there. Yeah. And you can see,
the party platform,
it's very clear. You can't be a Catholic and vote Democrat. Okay? I know people get mad at me to say that, John, but it's that simple, because the Democratic Party is for killing unborn babies, and we will never support that. And if you do, I would say that's a serious matter. You need to go to confession. But please, you don't need to do that. Vote for the guy that's going to lead the football towards a first down or a touchdown. President Trump is not perfect. Mary and St. Joseph, or even our Lord, is running for election. So we have to vote for the party that's going to bring it closer to what Catholics believe. And my take on that is, you can't vote Democrat. Jesse, your thoughts?
Pretty simple. It's pretty simple. As Terry said, I mean, everybody who runs for office, we're all sinners. If I ran for office, I'm a sinner. Terry's a sinner. John's a
confession.
Yeah, but as Catholics, we want to vote for people who are more congruent.
That's right.
with our morality, and also who are going to do less damage to our faith. And let's just be honest, the Democrat Party today on all fronts, family, sanctity of human life, medical marijuana, transgender issues, mutilation.
Yeah.
They're on the opposite side of That's the right. fence of practicing Catholics.
Well said. John, if you were Jesse Romero, I'd ask you, and I think he can answer this question. John, what state should we be living in, brother?
What states?
Yes, what state? Jess, you'll help you out. Jess, help John out.
The state of grace. The state of grace. There you go.
You get it?
The state of grace.
And John, I know you agree with us on that. And I want to just remind everybody that how do you do it? We got the week to change the world coming up, Holy Week. If you haven't been to confession, I went to confession this week. Why? Because I'm a sinner. And you are too. Because nobody on this planet gets away with being immaculately conceived. We're all sinners. Get to confession. Remember Our Lady of Fatima said this. Souls are going to hell because no one's there to pray and make sacrifices. John and Jess, they made sacrifices going out to Florida, traveling with their without their family. That's not easy. So I want to encourage you to unite your sufferings with the sufferings of Christ to help redeem the world. Thanks again for joining us here on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. God love you and your family.